Welcome to the Stonegate Women Podcast. This episode is from our Behold Become 2026 conference. We're so glad that you've joined to listen. Enjoy.
All right, we're going to get started right on time. I know this is breakout three, so I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little bit like, oh my gosh. So I think it would just be best if we all just go ahead and stand up and just do some stretches, just maybe do some arm windmills. Yep. Maybe side to side. Just wake yourself up a little bit. I know I was like grabbing another cup of coffee and I was like, maybe I just need to actually wake myself up instead of rely on caffeine before I get a headache. So, okay. Yep. Maybe give someone a high five. Give two people a high five. Yep. Boom. Boom. Sweet. Perfect. Good job. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for practicing that activity. But I'm going to jump right into it because I really, I'm just going to throw something at you during this talk. But towards the end, I just want to give you some time to reflect on this, whatever I'm about to tell you, but also just about everything you learned today. Before you leave, I just think it would be a blessing. Hi, guys. Welcome. Join us. Yay. Whole crew. Y'all just missed our stretch exercise. So if you need to wake yourself up, totally get it. Do what you need to do. But yeah, I'm going to just speak at you for a bit, give you something practical, and then give you some time at the end just to reflect and spend some time with the Lord of just everything you learned today, but also what you learned here. So first, let me pray and go to the Lord and ask him for help, guidance, and clarity, because I just hope and pray that he speaks through me to you and that he would just speak truth through me. Truly, everything I say, everything good I say, everything truthful I say is from the Lord. Nothing is from me. It's all from the Holy Spirit, and everything good about me is truly from God and how he saved my life. So I'd love to pray, and I'd love to just realign our hearts to Christ and centered on Christ, and then we'll get started. But Lord, thank you for your joy. Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for today that we're able to gather as women just freely and openly at this church and this building, worshiping you, learning more about you, learning all the things from anxiety to angels, friendship. Lord, thank you so much that you're just in all of it. Lord, there's so much more that we could learn. I know we had like a lot of breakouts today talking about you in different ways, different areas. And Lord, there's just so much more to discover. So Lord, would we just continue to be open-handed? Lord, I pray for right now. I pray you would speak through me, Lord. Thank you for what I'm about to teach you gave me and have let me apply it to my own life. And so, Lord, thank you that I'm just about to share the joy of you with others. Lord, I pray that they receive it. I pray you would prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us and open our ears. And Lord, that we would just dwell on what you've taught us today, Lord, that we would just draw near to you today, and that we would just be revealed your glory, and revealed you, Lord. So thank you, God, for who you are. Pray for this time. Pray that it would just be fun. And yeah, God, that you are just a God of joy. So thank you for this. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I know that you probably signed up for this breakout and you're like happy. What? That's like a temporary feeling that we feel like at any given time. It's not really something we find in scripture. We hear more about joy in scripture and eternal joy. And like happy is like, what? That's like sunshine and rainbows. But it's really just, I want us to realign our hearts. And I'm going to give you something really practical. When you go into circumstances, oftentimes, especially as women, we let circumstances define who we are often. And so when something happens, when a friend says something mean, when you go into a test, if you ever have something happen at work, oftentimes our circumstances around us, situations around us define who we are. But really, I think and I know that who we should be is the Lord's daughter. And we should let the Lord first define us rather than let circumstances define us. And so something that I've learned is that going into circumstances, going into anything, we need to have the right heart posture. And what that really means is when we get into a heart posture, it's I have a heart posture that's centered on Christ. no matter what. And so no matter what is thrown at me, no matter what happens, my heart posture is that I'm a daughter of the Lord. But that's kind of easier said than done. And I know that. And so we think of heart posture like, yes, I'm a daughter of Christ. And you can be reminded of that in this room. But as soon as you walk out or as soon as you check your phone after this breakout, you're going to get that text. You're going to walk out. You have something happened this week. And all of a sudden you just forget, how do I recenter my heart when this is happening? And so really, I'm just going to teach you a simple, easy way to align your heart and to practice what it looks like to realign your heart posture that's centered after Christ, and how we can be joyful in any circumstance. But first, I'm going to share a little story and share kind of how I learned this practical thing. And that was a year ago. I was not even a year into ministry. I was graduated from college, I was 22 a year ago. And not a year into ministry, I was sitting in my pastor's office. It was not at this church, it was at my old church. I was sitting in my pastor's office and he looked at me and he said, "You are going to take 30 people to Brazil." And I said, "What?" And he said, "You're going to take 30 people to Brazil on a mission trip in 1 week. You have 1 week to prepare and you're in charge." And I was like, "Okay, what?" And if that doesn't sound crazy to you, it's crazy. It was literally nuts. I was not supposed to be the lead of the trip. Boss was supposed to be lead of the trip. He couldn't go on the trip anymore. So they looked to me and I'm like just a baby. And they're like, "Yeah, you're going to lead the trip and you have to make sure everybody gets to Brazil. You're going to live on a boat on the Amazon River. You have to make sure everybody survives, gets on the boat on time, goes into the villages, make sure it's safe, and then get them back on the boat every single day and then get them back to the United States. All good. Nobody should die. Nobody should do any of these things." And I was just like, "Whew, okay, awesome, sweet." I was freaking out. And for like every single day that week leading up to the trip, I was literally like in tears, like, "God, what in the heck? I'm just a girl. Like, I don't know how to do this. Like, what the heck does it look like to get everybody through the airport?" And like 30, it was like 20 high school students and also like 10 adults. And I'm like, I have to be in charge of every single person. And I remember sitting in my mission pastor's office and I was like, "How the heck am I going to do it? And actually, can you do it instead?" And he was like, "No, you have to do it. The Lord put you here for a reason." And he said, "But are you happy?" And I was like, "No, I'm not happy. I'm actually really upset that I'm in charge." And he was like, "No, are you happy?" And then he proceeded to say this acronym that really just changed my heart posture. And he said, "Are you holy? Are you adaptable? Are you positive? Are you prepared? And are you yielded to Christ?" And I'll go through that again. Don't worry. I'll say it again. But it changed my heart posture of like, man, I'm not happy based on this circumstance, but I'm happy about who I am in Christ. And I know that he goes before me, even though I'm freaking out. He is going before me in this circumstance that I didn't plan, that I didn't even want. But I know that I can have a heart posture that sticks after him going into this. And even though I didn't plan this circumstance, and I don't necessarily want this circumstance, I trust that I can still be a joyful daughter in this circumstance because I'm his. And so I actually taught that acronym to my team going into that trip. And I was just like, "Guys, I'm freaking out and I have no idea what to do, but I just need to know that we're all happy." And I taught them the acronym and it ended up being a great trip. Like, even though there were a million things that happened on that trip, like we couldn't go to one village, another village, like the chief was like, "Yeah, I'll give you guys tattoos." And he like showed me a needle and I was like, no, that's scary. And then there was like another part of the trip where like we had to stay on a certain side of the Amazon River because like on this side it was like dangerous. And I was like, "Oh, just like right over there, it's dangerous." They're like, "Yeah, over there, it's dangerous. So we're going to stay on this side." And I was like, "Okay." But the whole time it was just having that heart check of like, no, in every circumstance, I can be happy because of who I am in Christ. And so we're going to go through that. That's how I learned this. And I've held on to this for a year now. So really just learning how to be a happy girl. But we're going to break it down. So H is holy. This stems from 1 Peter 1:15-16. And it says,
But as he who called you holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so knowing that you are holy, and I know maybe you've never heard that before. You're like, how could I be holy? I'm a sinner. I'm broken. But you are holy because you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so isn't that crazy that he who is holy has called you holy? And you are a part of a holy family, a holy kingdom. And so you are holy. And that just means that you are set apart. You are gonna look different. You are going to be set apart. The Lord is gonna draw you out and put you in circumstances or make you look different than a friend group or make you look different at work. Whatever that looks like, he's going to set you apart and call you holy. And so we as women, we are constantly told who we should be by culture, by social media, and even by family. Like our family is trying to tell us who we are all the time, but holiness, it's not perfection. God is not asking you to be perfect. There's no way you can be perfect. But being holy is set apart. It's not even a behavior modification. You're not trying to change your behavior or go by the rule book or play by the rule book. But your holiness, you being called holy, is a whole identity transformation. It's a whole identity because you were once not called holy. But because you are now Jesus's, you are holy. You were once not set apart. You were once in the world. You once belonged to the world. But now you are set apart. And it's a whole identity transformation. And so we don't pursue holiness to earn love. Because we are already loved, we are now holy. And so holiness is letting Jesus shape every part of who we are. When you ask yourself the question, am I holy right now? It's, am I letting him define who I am? Am I trusting that he's setting me apart? Am I trusting that he has the final say and the only say for who I am? Am I letting culture define who I am? Am I letting social media define who I am? Or even, am I letting my friends define who I am? What is getting in the way of me being set apart as holy? And so are you allowing Christ to fully define you when you think of, am I holy? Are you letting Christ fully define you? The second letter in the word happy is A, and it's adaptable. Are you adaptable? And I got this from Philippians 4, 12 through 13. And this is what it says. I know how to be brought low. That's crazy. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so are you adaptable in any circumstance? Or do you let circumstances define you? And so in this verse, Paul is talking and he is saying that his strength wasn't his self-confidence. It was his confidence in Christ. He wasn't relying on himself to be confident. He was relying on his confidence in Christ to lead him through everything. And so adaptability comes from contentment, not control. Are you trying to control things in your life? When something happens, when your hair is not, when you're not having a good hair day, do you have a terrible day that day? Or when your outfit's not looking right? Or when that friend says something to you? Or when nobody shows up to your game? Or nobody shows up to your party? Whatever it is, you don't get the grade on the test. That someone says something, that one thing that just triggers you and it just sets you off on your day. Are you letting circumstances define you? Are you trying to control the narrative? Or are you being adaptable? Something on my trip that was so tough was the schedule in Brazil. Like, the schedule was crazy. We called it Brazilian time because everybody was 2 hours late, and we had to be adaptable in those moments. And so maybe your adaptability looks like your younger brother is taking forever to get in the car. Are you being adaptable in that moment? Are you letting that circumstance make you angry?
Are you letting that circumstance make you frustrated or make you not love? And so adaptability means trusting in Jesus more than your circumstances. Is your life flexible and interruptible? Do you allow yourself to be interrupted? If that one friend comes to you and they really need to talk to you, are you willing to sit with them and be late to your next thing? Are you willing to talk to people? Are you willing to love on people? Is your life flexible and interruptible? Okay, so that was adaptable. We're going to move to the first P in happy, and it's prepared. Prepared. And that comes from 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, rebuke, reprove, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Are you prepared? As women, honestly, we often schedule overload. We often try to take on too many things. We have an emotional labor. We are constantly pouring out to other people in different ways. And our roles are constantly shifting. We might go from big sister to mom to teacher to friend. But being prepared spiritually means staying in the word daily. And so the one thing that is constant is your commitment and your reliability to the Lord. You getting in the word daily, you praying daily, and that is going to prepare you for everything else. It's going to flow out into every other role that exists in your life. So are you prepared?
Wait, what was it? Being prepared. Something. It was like being prepared allows you. Just being one thing.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. Thank you. Sorry. So being ready is prepare is built in private before it's needed in public. Being prepared means you and your privacy in your own life, in your own heart. It doesn't mean in your room alone. It could mean walking down the hallway. It could mean driving in the car, but it's built in private before it's needed in public. And so the Lord is going to build you up in private. The Lord is going to prepare you in private. And then you never know when he's going to use you in public, but you are always staying prepared and you're always ready. You're always ready to speak of the Lord. And another thing is that patience is part of preparation. He might be preparing you today and teaching you something today, even here at Behold Become, but he's going to use years from now, or he's going to use months from now. You never know. You literally never know. And it's being patient in that time where he is preparing you, and it's trusting that he's preparing you. And again, that you're not in control, that he's not going to put you on stage or do something in your life, but he's preparing you now for things that you can't even imagine he's going to use. But preparation today creates boldness for tomorrow. And so just an easy reminder that I think of in this, and that I just want you to take home, is maybe you need to read scripture before you scroll. Maybe you need to open up God's word before you pick up your phone. And that's something simple, but I think it's something that we all fall into. Is sometimes we end up scrolling, or sometimes we end up doing something that we like to do or whatever it looks like before we prepare and we yield ourselves to the Lord. And so are you ready to show the love of Christ in action and word in any part of your life because he's preparing you now? Okay, the second P is positive. Positive. And this comes from Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. Just close your eyes and just receive this. I'm going to read it again, but just close your eyes and hear these words. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. That's crazy to me. Like, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. How many times do I in my own life have a crushed spirit and am I drying up bones? How many times in my own life am I defining my circumstances, letting them define me, and it brings me down? And I'm not only drying up my own bones, but I'm drying up the people around me. And I'm affecting the people around me. But a joyful heart is good medicine, not only to myself and my spirit, but people around me. Joy is different from happiness. Joy is rooted in Christ and not circumstances. And joy is not denying hardship. Joy isn't like saying, I don't want you to hear me when you walk out of the room, you're like, okay, I can just be happy and just pretend like nothing's going wrong ever. No, hardships will come. Hardships will come, but your attitude is contagious. Your attitude is contagious. And what attitude are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing a joyful attitude? Are you bringing a downcast attitude? Are you saying, are you winking arms to people and saying, let's go, it's going to be great? Or are you saying, I don't want to go? This isn't good because of this thing or that thing or whatever. And if you're going to be a leader, leaders multiply the emotional tone of the room. And this is just a side story, but literally a couple weeks ago, literally a couple weeks ago, I was here working. Like, I'm on staff here. I work for student ministry. I was here working and I was in our open office where we work. And I was just downcast that day. I was just crushed. I was not having a good day. I was not talking. Usually I'm like pretty open and pretty bubbly. I was just not talking to anybody. I actually like put my headphones on. I was just like, and I got up and I walked and I was going to get coffee. And one of our pastors just followed me in there and he was just like, what's wrong? Why are you like, what's going on? And I was just like, oh God, man, my spirit is just downcast today. And he said, and he called me out and he was like, we can all tell. We can all tell. And I was just like, dang. And I immediately thought of Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. And I was like, I am not serving the people I do ministry with well right now. I am bringing everybody down. And I am not even reminding myself that joy that comes from the Lord is good medicine for me. And so literally I was called out and I went to the Lord in prayer and I literally took a lap. Like there's like a gravel parking lot out there and I like took a lap out there and I was just like, God, you are my God and joy comes from you. And even when I am downcast, even when these circumstances are going on around me, you can be my joy and I can be good medicine to other people through you. And so the Lord corrected my heart, even like, gosh, the Holy Spirit is crazy and works in crazy ways. But even like 10 minutes after I was done praying, a good friend just texted me and was like, hey, what's wrong? And I was like, bro, how'd you know? And so I was like, can you call me for 10 minutes? And she called me and I was just like, man, I'm downcast. I was just called out by one of my pastors for being a lazy butt. And now I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord. And I was like, can you just remind me that the Lord is good and that his mercies are new? And she was like, Logan, the Lord is good. His mercies are new. And you can be joyful even in your circumstances. And I was just like, okay, my day flipped around. I was like, let's go. It was even like a Wednesday. And so I went in the students that night and I was like, woo, I'm ready. Like, let's go. If that wouldn't have happened, if the Lord wouldn't have met me there, I would have walked in the students like, okay, let's just get through it. But man, I realized that day, like, I have to constantly check my heart, constantly. And I was like, I'm even teaching about being happy in like 2 weeks at Behold Become. And look at me, I'm just like downcast and sad. But it's because it's not through me that I can be joyful. It's not my flesh that can be joyful. It's through the Lord that all of these things can define me, that he can be the good in me. And so joy is a choice that's rooted in trust. It's trusting the Lord. It's trusting, I know that you are still good even when things around me are bad. You are still good. And so do you live in a joyful spirit or a downcast spirit? And also how you set the temperature in the room. I don't know if you know this, but there's a difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermostat sets the temperature in the room. Did I get that right? Yes. Thermostat sets the temperature. I say that wrong all the time. A thermostat sets the temperature in the room and a thermometer just like says what it is. But you're called to be a thermostat. So when you walk into a room, how are you setting the temperature? Are you going to set the temperature of like, this is going to be a good time. This is going to be awesome. Yes, God is good. Or when you walk into a room, do people say, oh, there's Logan. She's just sad today, and she is like, woe's me. Or am I walking into a room and they're like, yes, there's Logan. Okay. Even through circumstances, we know that she's going to be joyful. And so how do you set the temperature in the room? Do you complain? Or do you live in the spirit? Are you joyful? Okay, the last letter is yielded. Yielded. I before E. Y-I-E-L-D-E-D. Yielded. And this is more yielded to Christ. And so if you've seen the signs on the road, there's like a stop sign, but then there's also like that triangle, the red one that says yield. Y'all know what that is? Yes. I know my non-drivers don't know if you know. But that basically means I'm going to slow down and wait. I'm just going to wait. Make sure nothing's coming, and I'm going to yield. I'm going to surrender to where I'm at. And the yield signs are literally saying, you must stop. You must stop and wait. And so are you yielded to Christ? You wait on the Lord. Job 28:28 says, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, to wait on the Lord, to say, you are God, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. And so we often try to control outcomes. Sometimes we even try to control other people. We try to control our appearances. We try to control future plans. But yielding means surrendering that control. Surrendering that control. And surrenderance, it's not a weakness. Sometimes the world will tell you that surrendering is a weakness. It's waving your white flag and being like, oh, I lost the battle. No, surrendering is trust. Surrendering to God is trusting that he's going to take care of you. And wisdom begins with reverence. It begins in knowing who God is and saying, I trust you more than I trust myself. I know that you have better plans than I have for myself. And obedient. Oh, yes. Wisdom begins with reverence. Wisdom begins with reverence. And obedience is worship. When you obey the Lord, you are worshiping him because you are putting him on the throne of your life and you're stepping off the throne of your life. And the safest place to be, if you hear nothing else, the safest place for you to be is in God's will. The safest place for you to be is in God's plan and what he has for you. And so a yielded life is a powerful life, powerful life. And that's so different from what the world will tell you. The world is going to say, go be a girl boss. Come on, go be a CEO. Yes, go do it. But what God is saying is, wait on me, surrender to me. And I will protect you and I will make you abound. And that's powerful. That is amazing. And so do you give way for Christ to move through you? Do you give way? Do you yield to Christ so that he can move through you? Saying, I'm stepping off the throne and I'm letting you sit on the throne of my life. Okay, so we have five words. We have holy, adaptable, prepared, positive, and yielded. And I told you I was going to give you some time to really reflect on this. But I want you to write those five words down if you haven't already, or think about them in your head if you don't have paper and pen. But just happy, adaptable, prepared, positive, and yielded. And I really want you to do two things. I want you to circle one that you think you're strong in. You're like, okay, this one I can do. It comes naturally to me. I feel like I've already been doing this, or I feel like I can do this pretty easily. And then I want you to underline one that you're struggling with the most right now. Maybe as soon as I said the word, you were thinking, I don't understand that. I don't know how I could do that. And you're just wrestling with it. So circle one that you think comes easy to you and underline one that you're wrestling with right now, that you're struggling with.
And then I want you to write one sentence on your in your notes. I want you to say, right now I struggle with blank. I struggle with thinking of myself as holy. I struggle with adaptability because blank. So it could be, I struggle with holiness because I care more about how I'm perceived than who I'm becoming in Christ. Or I struggle with adaptability because I want control. Or I struggle being positive because I let circumstances define me. I struggle with being prepared because I scroll more than I sit with scripture. I struggle with yielding because I trust my plans more than God's timing. And once you've written those sentences, just kind of look up at me so I know. Done. But no rush. No rush. And then the next thing I want you to do is I want you to surrender that. So I want you to flip that sentence and say, Jesus, I surrender my control. Can you teach me how to be adaptable? So whatever you wrote at the end of that sentence, surrender it to the Lord and ask him to teach you how to be holy, adaptable, positive, prepared, or yielded. Because we can't do this on our own. We have to ask the Holy Spirit for help.
What did I write?
Lord, I surrender blank, whatever you are struggling with. And would you teach me how to be wholly adaptable? Then once you're done writing that sentence, if you could, just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Just put your pen down, close your eyes, bow your head, and really ask the Lord for help. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and then I'm going to close us in prayer. God, we just trust in you. Lord, we surrender it all. Lord, we surrender our need for control. Lord, we just surrender our distractions. And Lord, we trust, Lord, that you are going to make us these things, God, that you are shaping us into a woman of God that you have planned, Lord. Lord, we trust that being in your will is a lot better than being in our own will. And so, Lord, would you help us just realign our heart postures going into circumstances? And Lord, would you just make us happy? Lord, we just love you and we praise you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Becoming a happy girl isn't built on one giant decision or one big moment. It's built in small daily surrenders. And so the question you should be asking yourself is, am I happy? So that's all I have for you guys. But we can open up to questions if you have any questions about that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but
any questions or anything that like came to your mind like through it, maybe if you want to like tell the group what you want to work on or something that came naturally to you or whatever, anyone want to share? Sweet. No worries. I know y'all are tired. Okay, I actually am going to pass out these. I actually made you guys bookmarks. And it says, happy girl. And on the back, it says every single word with the scripture that I quoted. And so my encouragement to you would be put this bookmark in the corresponding scripture of the word that you need the most help with. So that can just be a reminder when you're studying scripture of, oh man, I am struggling with being adaptable. Can I just go and remind myself what being adaptable is?